Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Different Strokes for Different Folks, to find common ground and take it to the next level with David Clark here on Blog Talk Radio. Each week, the show will encourage you to keep an open mind and prepare to open the door to new understandings. We will have an exciting array of diverse guests who will point up the fact that we are all spiritual beings having a human experience. Now your host, David Clark.
Welcome to Different Strokes for Different Folks, where we will indeed be finding common ground and taking it to the max level. I'm your host, David Clark. I'm a spiritual adventurer, and I suggest you become the same. When you keep an open mind, you'll come to see that despite our seeming differences, we're all basically the same. You'll also see where you can find common ground so that you can relate rather than compare yourself to others. Now tonight it's my pleasure to welcome back a life transformation master by the name of Greg Tharp. In addition to that, he's an author and a spiritual solutions master. His thought-provoking and profound spiritual insight brings a new holistic spiritual perspective of God, self, the universe, truth, and life, which reveals ancient secrets in a new, more enlightening, empowering, and enriching way. Greg's profound, practical, biblical, spiritual teachings about the soul-life connection causes transformation and increased faith in one's higher power, leading to greater abundance, happiness, healing, and holistic success. His mission and passion in life is to help people increase their faith and understanding in the divine power within them and how to access it for the wisdom and guidance necessary to create a happier, healthier, more prosperous, and abundantly blessed and fulfilling life. Greg has written a book called The Godsend, How to Create Heaven in Your Life, which is a must-read for spiritual seekers of greater clarity, truth, and fulfillment. And so let me introduce Greg. Greg, once again, how are you?
Hey, David. Doing great. Doing great. How are you?
I'm doing great, too. It's a pleasure to have you on the show. I really enjoy the energy that you bring to the show and the insights and wisdom, and I'm looking forward to more of the same.
Yes, I appreciate you for having me here, and I look forward to sharing more with the audience tonight.
Well, in essence tonight, one of the things we're going to be talking about are the metaphysics and meaning of Christmas. And one of the suggestions you made to me is that we talk about the birth of Jesus as a physical representation of the Spirit of God in everyone to bring joy and healing within themselves. What would you like to say about that?
Well, mainly, you know, people understand the actual physical story of Jesus, but I think the most empowering part of that story is the other part of it, which is the metaphysical or the spiritual part of Jesus, and really and truly, it's about the Spirit of God in everyone. And I know a lot of times we see it, you know, Jesus as being the man Jesus, but the story is really about the kingdom of God or the Spirit of God within us. And so when we come to that understanding, I won't say understanding, I'll say understanding. It brings us more in the flow with God, and it allows more of our intuition to guide us and help us make the intuitive right actions and choices in life.
Right. Well, it certainly can be a life-altering process when a person learns to go within and connect with Spirit, which Jesus taught us a lot about. And it all seems to stem from love. I mean, his greatest teachings to me have to do with the golden rule, Do no harm unto others, or do unto others as you'd have them do unto you.
Right, exactly. You mentioned the word love, and that's true. That's exactly what that Spirit of God is, and that's within us is actually love, and each and every one of us is in our authentic self. That's who we truly are. We are love, but we've gotten away from who we truly are. And I think the birth of Jesus is kind of like a reminder, you know, and helping people come back to who they are. And so they can no longer be defeated by the misunderstanding and the ego controlling their lives and blocking or resisting the flow of the wisdom that they have within them to bless them abundantly in each area of their life.
Well, let's talk a little bit about that. I mean, wisdom can come to us in so many ways. It can come to us from experience of our own. It can come to us from learning from the experiences of others.
Right.
Or it can come from within, as you said. Would you address that a little bit? I'd be interested in hearing more.
Yeah, and you know, I like to address wisdom from the higher dimension, you know, not the necessarily wisdom of the world, but the wisdom from the heavens, which give us deeper insight into the world and help us see things not from our five senses, not from that type of wisdom, but from our sixth sense or from our intuition or our inner guidance. And that is like the divine wisdom. And when we all got it, but it's kind of like it's blocked for some of us. We're resisting it. But when we're open, it flows and it gives us the understanding and the understanding of life in a way beyond what we see. And so actually what we see is actually a like hologram or more of an illusion. And so when our wisdom is flowing, we see something completely different than what our eyes are telling us.
Can you give me an example of that?
And so, for instance, okay, when you see things that go on in the world, a lot of the negative things that we see, that's not really what, you know, it's what we see, but there is a deeper message in that. And it doesn't necessarily mean, say, for instance, something terrible happens to someone.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So a lot of times, you know, what we see is, you know, something terrible happening to them. But a lot of times there's a lesson or a message in that, and it's all for the purpose of bringing us or removing or purging us or healing us. I'll say it like that, or healing us of some issue that we're here to be healed of. And that's the only purpose of that happening. And really and truly, from a spiritual or metaphysical perspective, nothing's really happening bad to that person. It's, you know, like because God is all good and God is all love. And it's just like your children. God would never allow anything bad to happen. But these experiences that we signed up for a lot of times to go through to heal us, and that actually is healing someone. That experience that's going on that seems to be negative is actually healing someone, either ourselves or some of our family or some of our loved ones or someone in the world from seeing that experience. That's if we discern it, if we have a spirit of discernment and the wisdom to really understand what we're actually seeing, not from with our physical eyes, but from our sixth sense or our intuition or wisdom showing us the actual truth behind that experience.
Well, it seems to me that the way to do that is to come at it from spirit, again, being love, because a lot of times we look at things and judge them as terrible, and that's our ego speaking, and that comes from fear.
Exactly.
And
exactly.
I like what you said about lessons to be learned, and then the next step are choices to be made.
Right.
For instance, when somebody attacks you, you have a choice to retaliate in kind or do something different. I mean, Jesus
right.
talked
exactly.
about turning the other cheek as an example.
Right.
And so often in this world, at almost every level, human beings engage in resistance and more conflict instead of non-resistance like Gandhi or Jesus or Martin Luther King would have proposed.
Exactly. Exactly. It's kind of like,
yeah.
kind of like life. You know, a lot of times, you know, life will take care of situations for you. You know, it's like there's nothing you really... nothing for you to do but love them anyway, you know, love people anyway. And, you know, for that person, they'll have to experience whatever they've got to experience, you know, from, as a retaliation of life from for that negative energy that they send out. It's like karma. It'll always, you know, come back on a person. So, you know, you just send them love, you know, and I know that's hard to do a lot of times, but, you know, that's and that's healing you when you can do that, you know, if you
when
can,
you can
you know,
do that.
Yeah, if you can't, you're still wounded, and you will still have those kind of experiences come up until you heal from them. You continually get them.
Yeah, and if your ego gets in the way, and you don't come at it with love or understanding or open-mindedness,
right.
then there is going to be no healing, or it's going to be delayed.
Exactly, exactly,
yeah.
And that's, you know. And that's what we're here for, and that's the reason Jesus, you know, and the birth of Jesus and Christmas, and, you know, is actually, you know, for healing purpose. And we all are here to heal. And all of the experiences is like, kind of like we signed up for them, and it's depending on, you know, where a person's level of understanding, how they understand this. But, you know, it's like the obstacles, we know that we need these obstacles. Well, we don't actually know, but we knew it when we set them up in our life, and then we come here, it's like memory is gone, and then so we're having these experiences, and until we enlighten, we don't realize why we're having them. And you talk about those, you know, responses to things. You know, a lot of time we respond in a negative way because we're not awakened and enlightened, and we're not open, and our wisdom is not guiding us yet. And so,
well, what is your suggestion for dealing with a person that comes at it from that perspective, aside from sending them love? Would you suggest detaching from them, or would there be some other suggestion you would make?
Yeah, as of right now, my feelings are, I think that, you would just, you know, you would love them from a distance, as they say.
Well, it's said, and it's not necessarily a selfish thing, that you need to take care of number one, because if you don't take care of yourself, you're no good to help the person who truly wants help.
Right. That energy is not going to do you any good, you know, to keep it around you like that. So, you know, you send them love and you separate yourself from them.
Hmm. I had a question earlier, and it slipped my mind, but perhaps it will come back to me. You know, so often this time of year, people focus on... Oh, I know what I was going to ask you about. I was going to ask you about the role of the observer. And again, I guess this kind of touches on the idea of a detachment. You about the world being illusionary, and perhaps a role that we could take, and I'd love to have you comment on this, would be to be more of an observer as you go through life. And from that standpoint, gauging your actions or restraining your reactions, which often come from ego.
Right. Exactly. Well, exactly. Once you actually get in alignment or get in harmony with spirit, it's kind of like you you kind of like give your life to God, and it's not your actions anymore, you know. And so by going through the process of purging, or it's like refreshing back into you, your authentic self, and you do that by eliminating, or like I said, purging the worlds or the ego, the beliefs and thoughts that's not really who you truly are, and they're not from the Spirit of God. And once you start to purge those things, it brings you, it's kind of like you're kind of like letting go, as they say it, you're letting go and letting God. And
right.
Once you get into the flow, and then when now you become fully aware and conscious, and now when those opportunities come to react, you know, you don't react the same way you used to. Now it's like, you know, you automatically react in a better way than you act before. So.
Well, that kind of brings me up to something else that you'd propose that we could talk about, and that was how the birth of Jesus signifies God's love for the world and the new mindset and faith necessary to free people from the enemy, such as ego or negativity in life. And when you talked about God, going to God and letting God handle the situation, a lot of people seem to have some interesting notions around God as being a God of judgment or a God to fear. And it seems to me Jesus came to teach us that God is about love, and that in essence there's a new covenant that he's brought to us, some new ideas from what were in place at the time. And would you like to speak a little bit about that?
Oh, yeah. You know, the energy, the Spirit of God, like we were saying earlier, it's truly and purely love, and that's who we truly are in our spiritual mindset, you know. But most of us are not in that mind. Most of the world's not in that mindset. That's why you see all of the negativity going on in the world today, because people are resisting that type of those beliefs and those thoughts that's in alignment with love. And so since we're resisting, we act like humans, and we do what humans do. And humans like to kill, and, you know, they have wars and hate and anything other than love. So when we find out who we truly are, and we know, and, you know, the saying, know thyself, we act and behave differently. We realize that we're all about love, and it's kind of like we're freeing ourselves, and Jesus came to free us from the enemy, which is the ego or the negative energy, and that comes from the thoughts and beliefs of the world. And that was the whole purpose of the birth of Jesus and also the death of Jesus. And the death of Jesus, you know, is like the death of the ego, our ego part of us, and we're coming back into our true spiritual, authentic self. And that's when we're coming back to love, and that's the whole purpose of the world being here, is us to find who we are and return back to love, which is God. And so that's why we have all of the experiences that we have, the negative experience, they're actually necessary experiences, because without them, we would have no reason as a human being to return back to love. We would just be acting, you know, just here and not even know beliefs or understanding of a higher power or God.
Well, you know, it's interesting. We can talk about love, and that seems to be the least common denominator. But there are a lot of people out there that think they know what love is, and they don't have a clue.
I know. It's the word used.
How would you speak to somebody like that, who's in a place of great resistance, that you can see they don't have love within them, that they're coming from an ego place? or that they're attaching conditions to love, or that they're whatever it is that they're doing that is not truly loving. What could you say to a person like that that would not be threatening?
That's not coming from a place of love?
Yeah.
A person that's not coming from a place of love, that wouldn't be threatening.
Yeah, and okay. How would you guide them into a greater understanding?
Well, the only way that I can guide them, I would think, is to just share with them, you know, who they truly are, and you know, try to share with them like God's love, and you know, it's like the reason God sent Jesus, because you know, so you know, it says God so loved the world that He sent His Son, you know, to like save the world. And so God really is nothing but love, and God has nothing but love for us, and God has unconditional love for us. And so there is, you know, I don't think anything that you do can stop God from loving us, you know.
Right.
I think we're always, and God's never going to give up on us, you know. You know, how I don't care how much we fail and how much we get, you know, the stuff that we do in the world, God's never going to give up on us. And so until we return back to love, and I think that, you know, some of us are going to return back, you know, sooner than others, and some of us are going to resist longer than others, but still, God's not going to give up on us, I don't believe. He's just going to stay with us and stay with us.
Yeah, I agree, totally. And, you know, we always have another chance if we don't get it right in this life.
Exactly.
So, quote unquote, right in this life,
right.
We always have another chance.
Right.
You know, it's wonderful, the lessons that we've chosen to learn in a particular life are opportunities for us. And
exactly.
A lot of people don't see it that way. But I would propose, based on what we've been talking about so far, is the first ingredient a person has to have if they're going to be able to assimilate any of what you're saying is they need to be open-minded.
Exactly.
What other ingredients might be important for them, for somebody who is lost in their ego, to find their way to understanding what it is that you're saying?
First of all, I think another one of the ingredients would be you need to have an intention on actually wanting to find out the truth. And
yeah.
That's one of the biggest things. And another thing, a person needs to realize that they don't know the truth.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
You got to do
yeah.
it with yourself.
Yeah.
You
they need to be humble.
If you're not true, right, you need to be humble. And if you're not true, you'll never know the truth. You'll always resist it. Even though we bring the truth to them, like on this show, they will always resist it. And so they have to be, like you said, open-minded and realize that, you know, that they realize that they have been deceived. And that's the thing a person has to realize, because the world is a game of deception. And you have to realize that you have been deceived and you've been programmed and conditioned by the world. And then once you do that, you have to deprogram.
Yeah, so in other words, that involves some willingness to look at oneself and one's own failings or foibles and being willing to change thoughts, attitudes, beliefs.
Exactly. You said the word change. Yeah, because that's what it is. You have to realize, you know, that you change. You have to be willing to want to change.
Yeah.
And that's one of the key things, change. You know, the mindset that you've got now is not going to get you where you really truly want to be. And so there's going to have to be change.
Well, I was talking with a mentor of mine earlier today about my planning on doing some spirit life coaching, which I've done informally in the past, and I plan to do it formally. Mm-hmm. And he talked about the important ingredient of honesty. And I think that when you're talking about the authentic self being love, that you have to be willing to get honest and be brave enough to take a look at all aspects of yourself, those things that may be functional and serve your spirit, and those things that are dysfunctional and do not serve it.
Exactly. Exactly. You know, that's another one of the key things. You said honesty. Honesty. You definitely got to be honest. You got to be honest and you know, even being honest as far as realizing or that the things that you really, you truly want a joyous, blessed life, and everyone, then you really truly want love, you truly want just a blessed and beautiful life. And a person has to be honest, and most of the time we're not experiencing that. And we have to be honest and say that, yes, that's what I want. And this, instead of saying, I've got everything I want, because most people don't, because they've got some emptiness. Even though they may have money, there's still some emptiness there because they don't feel totally complete with the money.
Mm-hmm. Well, there's so many things that we can attach ourselves into this life, including money, people, places, and things, those material things. And that was another thing that we... that you propose that we talk about, meaning that the birth of Jesus signifies that spiritual gifts within are more gratifying and life-enriching than material gifts. These are all things that we attach ourselves, and Jesus talked about letting go in different ways. And I think ultimately he was talking about letting go of attachments.
Oh, exactly. Exactly. And yeah, we really, like we were saying earlier, we really truly want joy.
We
don't need things. You know, just joy. Just give me joy, you know. It doesn't matter. And so that's what God gives you. But, you know, still, you know, things, you know, we have the potential to manifest things. You know, we were created like that with that potential. So,
right.
You know, the joy and the happiness and love, those are the spiritual gifts more so that this is about, you know, the Christmas, the giving thing. It's about giving those gifts to people more so than the actual physical gifts. But, you know, a lot of times we get caught up in the materialistic world and the physical things. And so we forget about the joy and the happiness and bringing that to people and helping those people more so discover those gifts within them. That's the main thing. Discovering those gifts in you, and they are in us. They're just, we're just resisting them a lot of time because we don't really understand, like I was saying, the metaphysical part or the spiritual part of Christmas or Jesus, and so we don't actually know God like we think we know God. And so by us, you know, resisting the truth, you know, it resists us from experiencing this joy and happiness that's within us that God wants us to have, and it's flowing in us. But the resistance that we have to it is blocking us from getting the wisdom to manifest it or to allow it to manifest.
Yes. Well, you know, the way I look at material gifts, I don't get caught up in them, but I love to give them. And to me, they're tokens of appreciation to somebody else. And I give gifts that I believe other people will enjoy. And I get so much joy out of giving gifts. I don't care if I receive them, although that's nice too.
Right,
but
exactly.
It's the energy that's involved in the giving and receiving. And I think that's the beautiful thing, it is so much more than the material. And I wanted to comment on something else when we were talking about honesty and that is being congruent, meaning that we need to walk the talk if we're going to be authentic. It's one thing to know all the right words and to have an intellectual understanding of spiritual reality, but unless we are living that life, we're not authentic, we're not being honest.
That's our biggest problem too. I think we're not honest. We'll say we're going to do this. And you know, God is saying, well, you know, you're not honest, so I'm not gonna help you. I'm gonna lose weight, or I'm gonna stop doing this, and I'm gonna do this, and I'm gonna start a business, or, you know. So, you know, until you become a man or woman of your word, you know, you're not gonna get the assistance that you need to do it, because God said, nah, you're not serious, so I'm not gonna waste my time even guiding you and directing you to do this, because you're not serious. You're not honest.
Well, God helps those who help themselves.
Exactly.
And sometimes that involves reaching out, because no man or woman is an island. We are in it together, and we need one another, I truly believe. And a mark of humility for me is to admit that I don't know it all, and that I can learn from any person, and that somebody else might have a better way for me, or might be able to lead me further along the spiritual path.
Exactly. We need to, well, you know, like back to honest, we need to stop saying things we don't mean, you know, as far as, saying what we're going to do, and not being a man or a woman of our word. You know, if you say you're going to lose weight, then, you know, mean it. You know, and be honest about it, you know.
Right.
But most of the time we're not honest, and that kind of like puts resistance in the spirit from actually giving us the guidance or the willpower to do what we're doing, what we want to do anyway, or what we say we want to do. So.
I agree with you. I think one of the beautiful gifts that God gave us in the last century was a 12-step program, and I think there's a lot more out there that can be helpful to people than 12-step programs. But for somebody in an instance that might want to lose weight or give up an addiction or something like that, surrender it, you will become free, that, you know, to reach out to somebody who's been there and done that and can guide you along the path, we all need mentors.
Exactly. That person you're talking about, like the person like trying to give up the addiction, they're not honest. They say I'm gonna give up this, but they're not honest, because if they were honest, you know what? God would say, okay, I got you.
Right.
He said, I got you. He said, okay.
Between a rock and a hard place, I'd say.
Yeah, you don't have to do it. It's like, no, you don't have to give up. God say, I got you. I'll do it for you. Just give it to me.
Right.
But
right.
When you see you're not honest, it's not going to work. It's not going to work.
Well, let's come back to some discussion. I know just a couple of things. I know that you have a program that you'd like to talk about, and we do have a couple of callers on the line. So why don't you take this opportunity to talk about your upcoming program? Then we'll go to the phone lines, and then we'll engage in more discussion. How does that sound?
Oh, sounds great. Okay. Yeah, for the calls on the line, I've got a New Year's special event coming up. And, you know, if you're on the line, go to my website and sign up for my newsletter so I can send your information on it, because it will be in New Year's, and it will be early New Year's. I don't know the exact date yet. But it's entitled The Three Dynamic Keys to Having the Best Year of Your Life. And that's what, you know, I'm all about, and that's what David's all about. We're about, you know, growing and improving and continually purging and continually refreshing our mind, and so we can get closer and more in spirit. And so God can guide us more as we set our intention, you know, to have this type of life. We can hear clearer, the guidance coming through. And so that's what I'm about. And so this event is going to be powerful. And so go to my website, www.gregtharp.com, and sign up for my newsletter. And that way you'll get the information on the date and sign up for it. And on that call, I'm going to give you a free gift. And this gift is, you know, this is the season of giving. And so I just want to share with you something that was near and dear to my heart that helped me. And it definitely is going to be a blessing to you also, and it's going to be free. And so sign up for this seminar or webinar at my website. Again, that's www.gregtharp.com. And I look forward to seeing you or at the webinar.
And I think it's important to point out that Greg is spelled with one G, and Tharp has an E on the end. So that's GREGTHARPE. Well, thank you for that, Greg.
Thank you, Dave.
Greg is, for those who've tuned in late, Greg is a spiritual solutions and transformation master, and he has some wonderful insights. He's done a lot of work on himself, and he's very willing to help other people who have an intention to improve themselves at a spiritual level that will bring about all kinds of transformation in their life, leading to increased faith, greater abundance, happiness, healing, and holistic success. And I would like to come back to talking about healing if there's time, but let's go to the phone lines. I know both of these callers. The first one is Dean. Dean, you're live on the air. Do you have any comments that you'd like to make?
Great show, David. Yes, I'd like to ask, what do you do on a daily basis to stay in tune with the truths that you've been talking about?
That's the question for me, Dean?
No, yes.
Oh, hi, Dean. How you doing? Thank you for the question. Yeah, what I do on a daily basis is in the morning when I wake up, I do a meditation every day. And it's just a meditation to, you know, as I visualize my ideal day. I like merge with my higher consciousness, and I just sit in tune with my breath or the life energy or the God flow in me, and I just sit in quietness and stillness and peace. And a lot of times, sometimes I'll have a pad beside me, and sometimes when some things come up, I'll write them down. But every day I'll just sit and meditate. And that's the main thing I do. And other times, you know, I may read spiritual books or spiritual type books every once in a while. But most of the time, I think the main thing for me is being not just meditating in the morning, but just being in that meditative state throughout the day and just listening. So I think listening, and I'm listening for guidance, and I'm listening for clarity all throughout the day. And that's the main thing I'm doing, is just I'm listening, and I'm listening to hear, you know, to hear that inspiration come through to guide me or lead me in the direction I'm to go in that day.
That's good advice.
Yeah. So,
well,
David,
I think
you got anything
you want to add to that?
Okay.
Well, I think that's so important to live in that meditative space, which I would speak of as being a state of awareness.
Right.
Which can only come from a place of peace, and that's from that standpoint, I think meditation is so important because it helps us to let go of the ego and thoughts erroneous thoughts that may control us at a subliminal level. And if we can just allow that stuff to percolate up through our minds when we meditate without attaching judgment to it. Just observe it and see what goes on in our brains sometimes and get to the point where we've totally let go of that and are at peace, and then begin our days. It's just there's so much more clarity because you can truly hear what people are saying. There's so much to the powers of observation for those that have sight. I mean, body language speaks volumes. The words that come out of people's mouths, if their body language doesn't match the words, then that can be a warning sign or it can be an affirmation. But I think it's so important to practice awareness and to listen to your own body, which if you're feeling discomfort or you've got an upset stomach or you're feeling anxious, that's a sign that maybe you need to turn and head in another direction. So those are just a few of the thoughts that occurred to me when we were talking and sharing.
Yeah, and also you have to be careful, you know, the outside influence of the world, you know, coming in and disturbing the flow or your spirit, you know, and it will influence you, you know, a lot of things that are going on in the world, it can definitely mess you up because it's resisting, now you're resisting the guidance and wisdom that's coming through to you because now you're buying into what you see out in the outer world and you're forming and you buy into the beliefs of the world and it's really going against the beliefs of the spirit. And so now it's kind of like taking you out of that meditative state and now it's just messing everything up for us when we do that. And so just
well, if we're going to align ourselves with others, we need to cultivate the gift of empathy, I believe. And we, in light of what goes on in the world, I think it's so important to pick and choose where we go, who we're with, and to shield ourselves from toxic energies because there's a lot of that out there. You know?
Exactly, exactly. And it's not about what's going on in the world. It's about what's going on in you. It's focused on about what's going on in you, about the spirit of God that's going on in you and the peace and the joy and the happiness and not let anything in the outer world go against that or
right.
That's the main thing, just staying within, like in that meditative state we're talking about. And
right.
Not allowing anything to disrupt who you truly are, your joy, your peace, your love, your abundance, your happiness, you are infinite.
Well, we're all mirrors. We're all mirrors and we reflect what we see. And we're
exactly.
responsible for what we see and how we react to it.
Exactly. It's like,
you
know,
what do you
really
think, Dean?
Absolutely. That environment and the people we surround ourselves with are a tremendous influence on how our lives come out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And if what's coming from the outer world, what you see, if it's not in alignment with peace and love and joy and happiness and unity and all of that good stuff and abundance, and don't allow it in. Let it stay on the outside. Don't, you know, let the world be what the world is, but you create your own world within you based on what's truly authentic and what's truly you and what's truly about love. And so don't allow the world to create.
That's a choice, but it's also a training because we get so programmed by our childhood, by our schools. So we need to reprogram ourselves and to practice and remember that all the time. It's a question, you know it, but to remember it when you need it is a real skill and a practice. And I think that's what your choice of meditation every day is really the answer to that, is to have a daily practice to bring yourself back and to try to stay there.
Exactly. You know, it's like meditation and medication. It's like your meditation is your medication every day. So you take your medication every day.
Yeah.
Your meditation. And so you don't actually reprogram. You actually deprogram. Because the program is already in you. The program is already there. It's a beautiful program.
It.
what I wanted to say about awareness is if you're aware that your inner peace is being disturbed, that's a good time to go back into meditation, to turn away from whatever is disturbing you, take a look within, and then let go and reclaim your peace. I mean, we have the power to do that each step of the way. We can change our day on the turn of a dime. I'd like to bring the other caller in and see what thoughts she has, and we can just keep a dialogue going, if that's okay with you all.
That's great.
Okay, this is Diana. Hi, Diana. How are you?
Hi, David. I'm doing good.
Hi, Diana.
What would you like to say?
Okay. Well, I heard you mention it, but you all haven't talked about healing yet. I'm really enjoying listening to the way everybody's kind of like brainstorming and throwing it all out there. It's pretty joy-filled conversation. I was wondering how we could bring healing in, because it's kind of like an Easter thing, you know, the transfiguration. Jesus tells everybody, now you can do this. You can do what I did. And you're going to, and you're going to do more, because everyone can run the healing energy. And even the story of the woman who touched the hem of Jesus, Jesus didn't know who it was. All he knows is that the energy ran through him, and that person was healed. So can we bring that in with the Christmas news, too?
With the Christmas joy. The healing? Can we bring the healing here? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah. It's not just the baby being born, but something about healing time.
That's all it's about is healing, you know, really true. That's all this is about healing. But, you know, a lot of us are resisting the healing, you know, with the experiences that we have to bring about healing. We don't heal from them because we don't interpret them as for that purpose.
What are your suggestions for personal healing? And do you believe that we can heal ourselves at all levels?
I do. You know, just like we were saying, when you start to purge, you know, when you start to refresh, when you start to realize that you have been programmed and conditioned, you have been deceived, you have been tricked, you have, when you start to come to that truth, or come to that honesty about, and you do want a more blessed and fulfilling life. You do want more joy. You do want more happiness. You do want, you know, the life Jesus talked about, that I came so you may have life and have it more abundantly. You do want to be healed. You do not want to be stressed. You do not want to be unhappy. You do not, you know, you don't want these things. And that's the purpose, the reason Jesus came, to heal you from resisting these things. And, you know, it, like in the story of the Sadducees and Pharisees, you know, Jesus came. They were like the enemy. They were kind of like the ego, playing the part of the ego. And Jesus came to destroy the ego. And so you to heal, you're going to have to work on destroying the ego. And by stop resisting when, you know, these truths, like for instance, these truths that we're speaking tonight, if a person resisting them, there's no way for them to heal. And so until they come into the realization that they are not truthful. And like I say, you will not know the truth until you become truth. So
the truth will set you free.
Exactly.
Diana, what do you think about that? Diana's a healer.
Oh, okay.
She's been on my show, and so has Dean. Everybody on the show tonight has been a guest.
Oh,
okay. Yeah, that's why it sounds so great that we're throwing it out there. People that resist, they get angry at the truth. So that's something that we need to help them work on this year, because I've seen people who were like that 5 years ago still being like that. You tell them the truth, they get angry. And then there's like other people who say, well, I'm just selfish. 5 years later, they're still saying, I'm just selfish. So you got to correct that thought and do something so that they can feel important enough not to just say, well, I'm just selfish. So because these are the people who are not going anywhere, the ones who resist and the ones who think that they're just going to be selfish because they are. So we still have a lot of work to do as life coaches. I understand that bringing people to their authentic self is going to present a lot of truth. So getting them past that resistance and anger is going to be a big thing that David will have to work on because he's getting to that step in his teaching. I hope that people will take this, will allow the life coaches and the spiritual coaches to work with them. I'd like to see it. I know that once you're enlightened, the next thing is raising your vibration. But once you become enlightened, you really are obligated to teach. And then you're teaching
right.
and learning continuously.
Well, otherwise you are a wounded healer, and we all have wounds, but ideally, if we're going to go into a helping profession, we want to be in the process of healing ourselves, or else it's like the blind leading the blind.
Yeah. I think being able to communicate, in a way that they can relate to it more so. I think the better you're able to communicate this to them, they can really truly understand, because, it's just like you're going to have to educate them, because they don't really understand spirituality or they don't really understand metaphysics, and they don't really understand beyond form, because they're in this, this human in this third dimension, and, they're only basing things on what they see, and they can't see it. So, you're kind of afraid of it or don't trust it, or something like that. So it's just being able to communicate with them and I guess in a way that's non-threatening to them and in a way that they can relate to. And then once you get them, to feel comfortable with it, and then I think you can probably, move them more into, shift them a little bit more into the spiritual realm.
Yeah, it's that shifting. That sounds good.
Yeah.
What do you think about that, Dean?
I think that probably the best teaching we can offer anybody is our example and the way we live our lives.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Exactly. They'll have to see, you're saying all this, we're saying all this, but they actually got to see some results from it a lot of times, too, I think, Dave. And once they see that this stuff, hey, that stuff really works. Oh, look at his life. Look at her life. That spiritual stuff, man, I think I better try the spiritual stuff because it's really, But so until they see something like you're saying, a lot of times they're not ready.
Otherwise, we're preaching to the choir or proselytizing to people that aren't in a place where they want to hear. The power of attraction, I think, is what Dean was talking about. When you can see somebody who's moving forward in ways that you would like to move forward in your life, and they inspire you through the example of their lives, then that can stir some curiosity within somebody who might say, I want to do that too. How did you do that?
Right. It's exactly.
Yeah,
exactly. Because a lot of people are not going to walk by faith. They're not going to do it. They got to see something. And if they can't see it, they're not really to make a shift.
Well, let's see what else we can talk about. on the subject of healing, I think that we have covered, or at least we've alluded to, spiritual healing. And from spiritual healing, I believe, can come all other types of healing. What do you think, Greg?
Yeah, I agree. If it's part of, I guess, the person's life, because a lot of times a person is not going to be healed necessarily, because that's not the reason they're here for. So sometimes.
That's right.
Yeah.
Wouldn't you agree that in order for somebody who wants to heal and they're here for, that they would need to first work with their spirit and then see what emotions might be out of whack that could be triggering physical illnesses?
Exactly. There's something, some resistance somewhere that's you know, not allowing that life energy, and I think it's associated with your chakras, you know, being not fully open, and it's, you know, affecting that part of the body, and it's not getting the energy or the life, and it's affecting the cells and the organs of that part of the body because it's not thriving. And so there's something, like you were saying, David, that, you know, needs to be looked at in a different way, changed, a view, a perspective of something that's possibly causing that illness. And so, yeah, a person has to change, I believe.
Well, I've always maintained that it's a balancing act, that we as humans are mind, body, and spirit, you know, heart too. And if any of those areas are out of whack, we're out of balance, and then we're headed towards some form of dis-ease within ourselves that can even manifest as mental or physical disease.
Exactly. Yeah. I agree 100%. Yeah. And, you know,
what would be your prescription for staying balanced?
My stay balance. First of all, like I say, everything, have an intention of being balanced, and then actually just doing everything. I'll always go back to the meditation and being, you know, in the flow and just being raising your awareness level of consciousness. And just increasing your frequency, or removing or purging the stuff that's keeping us out of balance, and getting more into the flow. And that's pretty much the formula for everything. You know, it's just purging, the process of purging, and getting the stuff out of the way that's keeping us out of balance.
Dean, what do you think?
I think it has to be a multifaceted project. If our gut biome was way out of whack, or we're not getting enough sleep, or we're walking around dehydrated, I think to really live a balanced life, it's a whole kaleidoscope of different considerations that you have to balance and keep studying about, because even the very important aspects of health and proper diet have changed. The latest awareness is very different than it was even just 30 years ago. So daily study and a well-balanced life in all aspects, and as well as spiritual, but physical and mental, and is the key to that door for a good life, at least as far as I can see.
What about you, Diana? What's your take?
Probably all of the above. I think there has to be a good clearing and a balance to even have something to remain balanced. And in order to have a balance to start with, it needs to be physical, emotional, mental, the whole deal. So I think everybody has good cue points there. We could have written a book tonight.
Let me ask Dean and Diana a question and then come back to Greg. We've been talking a lot about the meaning of Christmas today. What does Christmas mean to you each? Who wants to go first?
Go ahead,
probably Dean wants to go first.
Oh, there we go. I'm going to pick.
A time to get together with family and to reflect on the gratitude. and be grateful for the blessing of life and the blessing of the freedom and living in this country and all the other blessings that we sometimes take for granted.
Mm.
That's exactly. Being thankful and grateful.
Mm. How about you, Greg? What do you want to throw in there?
Well, for me, it's like I like the way you said, you know, Jesus is your hero. David, we talked the other day, and you said Jesus is your hero. Is your hero.
Mm-hmm.
And just Christmas is a time to reflect on just God sending, I guess, a reminder or a spirit to remind people or remind us who we truly are. And by, you know, the story of Jesus, it helped me to realize, you know, what life is all about and to realize, you know, it's more about God and us, like, reconnecting and realizing that we've been separated from the truth. And so it's just a time of, it's just a celebration. It was supposed to be a celebration of freedom, you know, when we were sent to, when God sent his son to free us. And we're supposed to be, like, celebrating being free from the ego. And so it's just a time for me to just, you know, just on the physical level, you know, just to enjoy with family. But on the spiritual level, it's the time when, you know, I'm just thankful, you know, for Jesus, you know, his teachings, because it inspired me more than anything. It inspired me on the spiritual journey I'm on. And, you know, it showed me who I took, the God in me, or the kingdom of God within me, and the potential that I have. And it's just a beautiful time, you know, to reflect on that.
Well, I would like to add a caveat to my statement, which is true, Jesus is my hero. And that is, unfortunately, Christianity not necessarily is my hero. Unless it actually edifies and follows the teachings of Jesus and sees the truth that we are all divine children of God, no matter what our backgrounds or beliefs are, that we are all spiritual beings having a human experience. And when somebody puts it out there that that's not the case, then I take issue with that. That's the only thing I wanted to say.
Right.
And I believe this is a wonderful time for connection, and I love what was said about gratitude. I think gratitude is the key to leading an abundant life. And I once asked a religious leader what the single most important prayer would be. She happens to be an urban mystic teacher, also a black woman by the name of Harriet Wald. And she said simply, thank you. That was her most important prayer. And I loved that.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Is there anything, I'll give each of you a chance to say something in closing. And I'm going to remain silent. I'm going to let Greg go last. Dean, is there anything you would like to say in closing?
I'd like to thank you for this show, David. You perform a real service for all of us humans trying to figure out what our lives are and how to live them. Thank you.
My pleasure. Diana?
Mm-hmm. Gratitude. I think Dean and I must do a show together. Thankfulness for the show. I have a lot of gratitude for David. He's such a special person. So thank you for the show.
Mm. Yeah. You make me feel very humble, and I am very grateful to you for that, I feel very humble. God bless you.
Thank you.
Well, Greg, is there anything you'd like to say in closing?
Oh, yes. Like I said, yes. Yeah, I appreciate you very much, Dave. I appreciate you for having me on the show, and I'm very grateful for you. And, you know, it's just like, you know, the synergy, the energy between, you know, it's just like, you know, it's the understanding. It's like you understand me. It's like you understand me a lot of times more than I understand myself. And, you know, regardless of what I say or how I say it, you seem to understand what I'm saying. And I understand you. So, you know, it's just great chemistry. I feel anyway, you know, between us. And I appreciate, you know, you for having me.
Oh, you're welcome. Well, I relate to everything you say. I think that, to me, it's a matter of kindred spirits, that there are many, many of us out there that resonate and vibrate at a high level of love and who see things in a similar light but can still learn from each other and serve as shining examples to others who may not have found the light yet. And that's not to say that they're doing anything wrong. They're simply following their own journey, you know?
Right. Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Well, thank you all, and I wish you all a Merry Christmas. And wish you abundance in the new year in every form. And, Greg, thank you for appearing on the show again. I'd love to have you on again next year.
Thank you, Dave. I'd love to be here.
Well, that brings us to a close. Now we can pause and reflect upon the idea that we are all united through the diverse tapestry of our individual gifts. There is no real thing as separation except in our own minds. We are each unique expressions of the ultimate source of our beings. We are spiritual beings having a human experience who can and will have a spiritual experience if we let it be. Have a great week, and remember, whatever you dream, you can realize.